States, Canada, the nations of Europe, and wherever their descendants have settled. Thomas Robb Ministries is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write us at Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendercraft. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, thank you, David. I certainly appreciate that introduction. We are going to talk a little bit today about the Abrahamic covenant. I know that this is not something that most churches talk about. Most preachers don't talk about it. A lot of people are even unaware that such a thing exists. The Abrahamic covenant. What are you talking about, people are saying? What does that have to do with my salvation? Or what does it have to do with the Bible? Or what does it have to do with me or the church? And now those are valid questions, I suppose, if somebody wants to know how these things relate to them. But the Abrahamic covenant is important. If you read Luke chapter 1, verse 68 to about 72, somewhere in that area, you'll find that Christ came, and part of his coming, or for part of the importance of his coming, I guess you could say, was that he will remember the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. You can read there in Luke 1, 68 to 72, I believe. He came, part of the reason he came was to remember the covenant made to Abraham. And so the covenant made to Abraham was important enough that it's mentioned in Scripture. Also, you can read Hebrews, the 6th chapter, where it talks about our salvation. And it says that part of the reason we know that our salvation is secure, part of the reason we can know we're going to have this salvation, that God is not lying to us, part of the reason we know and have faith and can trust in the Word of God is because of the fact that he has kept his covenant to Abraham. That's what the Apostle Paul says. That's how you know. People say, well, how do you know you're a Christian? How do you know? Well, let me tell you something. One of the main reasons the Bible gives, reasons that the Bible gives on how you can know your salvation secure, is the fact that Paul says that God kept the covenant to Abraham. Of course he did. And the Abrahamic covenant is at the foundation of all Scripture. You can't understand the Bible, I don't believe anyway. You cannot understand the Bible unless you understand this Abrahamic covenant. Now, you can understand parts of it, portions of it, certainly. That's certainly true. But you cannot understand the completeness of the Bible unless you understand this covenant that God made with Abraham. You can turn to and read about it in Genesis 12. And you read again on the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 17. I'm not going to take time to read those now, but you can turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 17, in which God made this covenant with Abraham, and that covenant was made also with Abraham's wife. Her name was Sarah. So God made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, and do you know what? This was an everlasting covenant. It was forever. It cannot be revoked. We are told by the Apostle Paul that God made this covenant by himself. He did not need Abraham's permission. He did not need Sarah's permission. He did not need somebody else's permission to make this covenant with Abraham and with Sarah. Excuse my cough there, please. No. And so the covenant is quite interesting because it promises Abraham certain things. It promises him that they're going to be his people. And, of course, the children of Abraham were Israel. We had Isaac and Jacob, and then the children of Israel. He said, these are my people. In fact, over 200 times in the Bible, God refers to Israel, or refers to himself as the mighty God of Israel, over 200 times. So, anyway, the Abrahamic covenant said that these could be his people, that he's going to love them and care for them. He said there could be a multitude of nations, many nations. You read that there in Genesis 17, I believe. There could be many nations, a multitude of nations. That's a lot. And But I know you Judeo-Christians, it's gonna guilt them and say, well, what do you mean the Abrahamic covenant, the foundation of all the Bible? And it is, but they're not going to like me saying that. It is the foundation of the Bible. All the scriptures are based upon this covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their children. But they're going to say, oh, well, no, that's not true. The foundation of the Bible is the love of Jesus. That's what they're going to tell you. The love of Jesus. They want to stretch out that word love. Love of Jesus. Well, anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about that here a little bit, perhaps. We all have seen the acronym WWJD. I know you've seen it. It's around. You see it on jewelry. You see it on clothing. You see it on T-shirts sometimes. And it stands WWJD. And here's what it means. It means, what would Jesus do? And of course, it means then that whenever people are faced with a situation, faced with a problem, faced with issues of life, they are to reflect, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And therefore, then they are supposed to act and conduct themselves the way Jesus would act and conduct themselves. And so, it all sounds so peachy, I know. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, of course. We all understand that there's certain mannerisms that Christians, certain characteristics, character, integrity that Christians are to display. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. But it sounds so peachy. But the fact is, most people don't do what Jesus would do. Those people that wear that WWJD don't necessarily do what Jesus would do. They simply do what they think Jesus would do, and it's based upon their understanding of the Bible. If they don't understand the Bible, then they may not be doing what Jesus would do, even if they think they are. They may be doing something just the opposite. So we hear the Judeo-Christians out there, the people in the church world who are so in love with the concept of racial reconciliation, universal brotherhood of man. The ones that want to bring non-whites into the church and want to marry them, want their daughters to marry them, their sons to marry into the non-white peoples of the earth. And this not having nothing to do with hatred. I'm not talking about hating anybody. I'm just talking about loving your heritage and loving your people. And there's nothing wrong with that. So they act so often, some of these Looney Tunes out here, they act that if you love your people, love your heritage, and there's something wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with loving your people. You love your family more than the neighbor's family, I'm sure. If you're a man, you should love your wife more than the neighbor's wife. And if you're a wife, you should love your husband more than the neighbor's husband. But it doesn't mean you hate the neighbor's husband. Or if you're a man, it doesn't mean you hate the neighbor's wife. Doesn't mean you hate the neighbor's kids just because you love your kids more. And so that's what we're talking about, loving our people. So they want to holler out, all you have to do, love Jesus. And they may have no idea what that really means. And also they have no idea how maybe Jesus loves them back, because that's how the crux of this Abrahamic covenant, that there is a people that Jesus loves above all people upon the face of the earth. Amos chapter 3, I believe, will tell you that. And also in Psalms 147 will tell that to you also. So in previously, we have talked about this Abrahamic covenant and how it was given to Abraham and Sarah as an everlasting covenant. It, like Paul says, it cannot be. He made it himself. God made a covenant. He did not ask for Abraham's or Sarah's permission. Nothing they could do to change it. And most Christians have little problem understanding how God kept, protected, and nourished Israel throughout the portions of Scripture we call the Old Testament. However, the pride of their modern delusional thinking, some have convinced themselves, many have convinced themselves, perhaps most have convinced themselves, that this marvelous covenant that God made with Abraham cannot have any real meaning to us today. Oh, sure, they'll say God protected Israel in the Old Testament. They'll read the scriptures about it and how they fought against the Philistines and the Canaanites and all the various enemies of Israel. They'll boast about how God protected Israel, battled for Israel, and all these sort of things. And they are so correct. But they fail to understand that God loves Israel today too. Not just then, but God loves Israel today also. And he battles for Israel, and he nourishes Israel, and he cares for Israel, and he loves Israel today just as much as he did 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. But anyway, and no amount of babble from modern New Age Judeo-Christian churchanity altered the fact that Jesus Christ came for the purpose of remembering, keeping, and fulfilling the covenant made to Abraham and Sarah. You can read, I'm going to give some references for this. Won't take time to read them now, but grab your pencil and paper. Write down Matthew 1:21. Matthew 2:6, Matthew 10:6, Matthew 15:24, Luke 1:72-73, Romans 15:8. I particularly like that one. That says that Christ came to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Of course, that's referring to Israel. That's why Christ came. To confirm the promises made to our fathers, Israel, our people, the Anglo-Saxon, the Nordic, the kindred people of Europe, the Germanic people, the people of Poland, the Scandinavian countries, people in Romania, Russia, white people, if I can say that. He came to remember and confirm the promises made unto our fathers. God loves our people. Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 8, verse 8, and James 1, verse 1. He said he came to, James wrote this letter, the epistle, to the 12 tribes who were scattered abroad, and 1 Peter 1, 1. There's other verses too, but those are ones I'll give you right now. It must be understood that the love God had for Israel in the old days is just as powerful and faithful today. And I'm going to interject myself again here by saying, I want you to understand, we are not talking about these people that we know of as Jews. We're not talking about them. We are talking about Bible Israel, not Khazar Jews. If you don't know the difference, well, then you need to learn. Don't stay in ignorance. Don't stay an ignorant Christian. The Bible tells us to search the scriptures. Don't remain in ignorance. Don't just assume because you've never heard it before that it's not true. Just because your preacher did not tell you this, do not somehow delude yourself in thinking that it is not true. The Jews of today are not Bible Israel. We're talking about who they are. And those people are the white, Nordic, and their kindred people, as I mentioned before, the European people throughout the mainland of Europe and the Scandinavian countries and England and Scotland and Ireland and France and Italy and Spain, Romania, all the Baltic countries. These are our people. God loves them. No amount of modernism can erase the love God has for Israel. The attempt to mongrelize the church by today's preachers are preachers of the New Age movement. And I want to point that out, and I know that you're going to fall off your chair when I say that. Some of the preachers that you have trusted and looked to and perhaps begin now to have a little bit of doubt in them. Some of you perhaps have a great amount of doubt. I want you to put your faith in Jesus. and understand that his covenant is secure. He did not forget his covenant. Who are you going to believe, my friend? Are you going to believe the preachers who stand before you, or are you going to believe the scriptures, which says that Jesus Christ came to remember the covenant made to our father Abraham? You can read it there in Luke 1, chapter 1, verse about 68 through 72, 73. And also, I told you the reference just a moment ago, Romans 15, 8. He came to confirm the promises made unto our fathers. Who are you going to believe? So no amount of modernism can erase the love God has for Israel, our people. And the attempt to mongrelize the church by today's preachers is for the purpose of creating a one-world, multiracial church. I know that some preachers actually brag about a multiracial church. Well, the Bible tells us that this is the one-world church. This is the church of tolerance. You can read there in Revelations chapter 3, I think somewhere around verse 14, where he says, I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold, because you are not. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, and or spew you out of my mouth. The word spew literally means to vomit. He's going to vomit these churches out of his mouth. All churches which promote, teach, or are tolerant to interracial marriage and or sodomy are part of the one world church facing us today. Do not be fooled, my friends, of New Age preachers who claim to be born again and give testimony of their salvation. The deception of the one world church is very, very powerful. And it is the reason why there is this great falling away today. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, where he says there will become a great falling away at the time of Christ's return. And if you take the word falling away and look it up in the Greek, you'll see it means apostasy. There's going to be a great apostasy or a great falling away. And that is referring to the church. Because if you're not a Christian, there's nothing you have to fall away from. But people who are Christians, who are members of the church, who are being blinded today, my friends, being blinded and being led down this primrose path of tolerance. Oh, I know we're told Jesus was tolerant. We all have to be tolerant like Jesus. Don't you want to be tolerant? The apostles were tolerant. True Christians are tolerant. Little children, you got to be tolerant. Oh, we all got to be tolerant. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says don't be cold. He wish you're cold. He wish you're hot. Because Jesus is not tolerant. He said there is only one way. It's a very narrow road. And few be there to find it. But the road to destruction is a wide road. And many people are upon it. Even though the Bible says do not follow a multitude to do evil. Today's church world is following a multitude to do their evil. To create this multiracial and soon to be coming sodomized church of tolerance. And Christians are falling into it. We have Christian people today who are being tolerant to this devastating sin of sodomy. So don't be deceived by those who claim to be born again and then promote interracial marriage or the acceptance or the tolerance of sodomy. Their testimony is worthless. It means absolutely nothing. Bible says you don't judge a man by his words. You judge a man by his character. You judge a man by his fruits. People look at these so-called people and they give their testimony. The Bible says don't judge a man by his testimony. Judge him by his works. Judge him by his fruits. Judge him by his character, not by his words. The church world, the modern church world, think that this Christian community look upon themselves and think upon themselves as a last great witness of the Christian faith. But in reality, they have become the vanguards of the great one world church. And this is something that we need to be fearful of. Not fearful from the standpoint of fearing it over Christ, over Jesus Christ. But we need to be alarmed by this growth within our nations here in America and Canada and at our beloved sister nations in Europe. In our churches, we need to be aware that this is something to be fearful of for your sake of your brethren and your sisters and your family. And always have faith in Christ for our own personal walk, of course. Recognizing our Israel identity, the identity of our people, is extremely important because it helps you understand Scripture. The Bible tells us in Genesis 12 that God will bless those that bless Abraham's children and will curse those who will curse Abraham's children. My friends, if what I'm saying is true, and not just me, but many other people throughout history, going way back to the writings of John Sadler, who was an associate of Oliver Cromwell back in the 1600s, and many others going back to the Scottish Declaration of Independence signed in 1320, I'm not alone in this testimony that we are Israel. Our race is Israel. The white race is Israel. And God says that we have to bless our people. And those people out there who blessing the Jews who are not Israel will bring a curse upon our nation and has done so into our nations of Europe and America because we have been blessing this false state of Israel for the past 40 years. For 50 years, 56, 56, 58 years total. And what are the blessings that come upon our nation? None whatsoever. And so, my friend, I trust that you will be sure to tell your friends about this broadcast. Be sure to listen again. We ask that you remember, write us a letter. Please let us write us a letter. Let us know that you're listening. And that way we'll know that where our broadcast is reaching to. We'll know how it's affecting you and how it's blessing your life and how you are being led by this ministry. We certainly want you to turn and continue on with this broadcast. We have learned previously of the nation of Israel became engaged in a great civil war. And this civil war resulted in Israel being divided into two nations, Israel falling into sin, and Israel being removed out of the land of Palestine. Millions of Israelites being driven from the land of Palestine and wandered into the nations of Europe, where they fulfilled the great prophecies that God gave for Israel, gave to Abraham that they would become a multitude of nations. That means more than one. It doesn't mean just a little. It doesn't mean one tiny nation over in Palestine. It means literally and exactly what it says, a multitude of nations. And so Jesus Christ came for that purpose. We read in Matthew 10, verse 6, but go rather to, he's telling his disciples, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know that if you talk about all the lost 10 tribes of Israel, some people want to look at you like you're some type of weirdo. I know that's true. And they say, oh, there they go, talking about the lost tribes of Israel again. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ talked about the lost tribes of Israel. You're in good company, my friend. The lost tribes of Israel, Christ said, go to the lost tribes of Israel, my friend. Are we fulfilling that covenant? Of course we have. We are going to the lost tribes of Israel. We are going to our sister nations of Germany and Poland and France and Spain and Italy and Scotland and Ireland and England and Norway and Sweden and Denmark. That's where the Christianity went to. That's where the gospel went to. And that's why they became the great Christian nations they have become. Do you think it was just an accident? It was not an accident, my friend. God's hand, his loving hand of protection and guidance was upon our people, have always been upon our people. He said he loves them. He died on the cross for them. He stretched out his arms to embrace his people Israel. He took the nails into the palms of his hands, and he took the spear into his side because he loved our people Israel. And he gave himself a sacrifice for our people. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 15:24, but he told the disciples again, he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is what Jesus says. Do you wonder who he's talking about then? He's talking about Israel. So when Matthew 18:11, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save Israel. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's another reference to that same statement. Israel. He came to seek and to save Israel. That's why he remembered the holy covenant that he made with Abraham. Because God remembered the covenant he made with our forefathers. He remembered the covenant he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He remembered his covenant with Israel. And he remembered that covenant, and he came and he died upon the cross of Calvary to purchase our redemption because he loved Israel. And that's why Romans 15:8 says he came to confirm the promises made to Israel. That is why Apostle Paul talks about in Hebrews 6, that this is how we can know and the assurance of our salvation, because he kept his covenant with Israel. Bear in mind, if God broke the covenant with Israel, then how do we know that he'll not break the covenant of salvation with us? If he broke this covenant with Israel, how do we know he's not going to break our covenant? Well, he did not break the covenant with Israel, according to the Apostle Paul. And he's not going to break the covenant of our salvation. We have rose to be great and powerful nations in the world today, not because of our wisdom, because of God's love for our people. But he cared for our people and he blessed them. My friends, be sure to tell your friends about this broadcast. Be sure to listen to us again. Remember, all we want you to do is remember to love your people. We love our heritage, and we love our culture, and we love our children, and that's all we want you to do. We want you to love your heritage, love your culture, love your people, love your children, and remember the covenant that God made with our forefathers, as Jesus remembered the covenant also. Until next time, this is Thomas Rahm.
You have been listening to Global Minority Report with Pastor Thomas Rahm and Rachel Pendergraft. The Global Minority Report is a radio ministry of Thomas Rahm Ministries and is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write for a free sample copy of our news and ministry magazine by writing to Thomas Rahm Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. If possible, when you write, please include a small offering to cover our mailing expenses. Our address again is Thomas Rahm Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. You can also visit us on the internet at christianidentity.tv. Please tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Thank you for listening, and again, this is the Global Minority Report.